From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the third day of August 2020. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. And a bit later in the program, Todd Hubbs will be here, agricultural economist on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois, to talk about the fundamentals of the soybean market. And then as we close out our time together, we'll take a look at what's been happening in the cash grain market right here in our part of the world with the folks at the Andersons. Stay with us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online. Listen to us on demand whenever you'd like. Just click and play at willag.org. willag.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In Chicago, September corn today 1.5 cents higher at 317.5. December 328.5, up 1.5 in the March at 340.25, 2 higher. May up 2 at 348, and July at 353.75, 1.5 cents higher. August soybeans unchanged at 897.5, November at 896.25, 3.75 higher, and January soybeans up 3.75 as well at 901.75. Next year's July at 907.5, 2.5 cents higher for the day. Bean oil up 76 cents. The bean meal for the day, $2.20 lower. Wheat futures, soft red down 10.25 in the lead September at 521. Hard red September at 530.75, 11.75 cents lower. Live cattle futures in Chicago, August contract up 20 cents at $103.25 per 100 pounds. Feeders up 20 cents as well at 144.87.5, and lean hogs $2.12.5 lower at $49.87.5. Crude oil up 77 cents a barrel. Ethanol about unchanged. Gasoline up 4 cents for the day at $1.21.2. That's on the RBOB. The wholesale price, diesel fuel, is around $1.24.1, about 1.7 cents higher, or heating oil as it's otherwise known. The Dow Jones around 250 points higher, and the U.S. dollar on the afternoon is up 0.254. We're now joined by Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, to talk about this marketplace. Hey, Kurt, thanks for being with us. What can you tell us about this Monday trading day?
Well, we had an up Monday instead of a down, so chalk that one up for a plus for a change here.
Not a, good for you.
Not a big up. I mean, it's just a moral victory, I guess. But the market was able to hold in there. The market's been in deterioration mode here on ideas. The crop's maybe getting a little bit bigger, but technically we've had the market just a little bit oversold, particularly corn. The RSI levels got down to this low 20 level, indicating oversold. Time-wise, we're 4 to 5 weeks off that low we had back in June there. And we've priced a lot of negative news in the marketplace, so the market's hopefully trying to stabilize here and try to have some recovery. Huge, huge sales for the month of July here. In fact, we broke records for corn and bean sales. But a lot of the trade feels that this is all front-loaded here. We're pricing a lot of this, we're seeing a lot of this demand come forward here, and we'll have to see if additional demand comes at us here as we move more into the marketing season. The optimism on the corn, you know, with China buying, we've not seen those size of purchases for quite some time. Then, too, news that they've continued to had to move wheat and rice out of their inventories to meet feed needs, had the trade on the positive note there on ideas that, you know, hopefully these corn sales will continue as we move forward here. There is talk that maybe over the longer term and through here, China could purchase up to 10 million metric tons of corn on the world market, which would be a plus sign to help offset some of the negative news of increase in production here in the U.S. This afternoon's crop conditions report expected to show some slight improvement. We'll see what areas those improvements occurred. Illinois was a big improvement last week. We'll see if we'll continue to build on that. But the significance of that, the trade's starting to build in a little larger crop. Next Thursday, the 12th, we're going to have the monthly supply-demand report. It'll be farmer survey, and I don't believe on this report here, it'll be the September report before the USDA uses some of their own information on this, but we'll see how those numbers come from the producers. But the trade's looking for 100 to 300 million bushel increase in the crop size, then possibly lowering the demand somewhat. So some of the bears are estimating this corn carryout could climb back towards 3 billion bushels or a little higher. And same thing on the bean side of the equation there. They're looking for about 100 million bushel increase in the soybean crop from the July numbers. And ideas demand could be just a little bit lower, 50 to 100 million bushel. And so the carryout in beans could climb to this 550 million bushels versus the 425 million bushel number we saw here last month. But overall, you know, producers seem to be a little bit more comfortable with production prospects here over the short term. Cooler temperatures, almost jacket weather almost. And the moisture situation, if there's any weather concern, the moisture situation would probably be a little too much rain in some areas versus not enough rain.
So the trade looking for what? Something like a 1 to 3.5 bushel increase in corn yield in the Aug 12 number?
Yeah, we'll have some more trade estimates here as we get moved towards the end of the weekend here. But last month, the yield on corn was 178.5. There's a lot of the trades dialed into this 180 bushels. So that'd be about 1.5 bushels more. On the bean side, they're trying to come in with about a 50 to 50.1 bushels to the acre versus last month's 49.8. So we still have the month of August to go yet. And a lot of things can happen, but they're most definitely dialed into a little bit better situation than what we were 30 to 45 days ago.
How concerned are you about the export market for corn and or soybeans, given some of the recent export activity with China?
I'm not concerned about it. Looking longer term in here, I think it's good. You know, we're at some fairly cheap levels. It should stimulate some demand and stimulate some export business here over time. You know, as long as we don't see a slowdown in economic activity, I feel that these bears are brainwashing everybody here. I think demand's a lot better than what they're letting on. You know, bean demand particularly, though, is kind of questionable after the first of the year. That'd be the one I'm a little concerned about from the standpoint, if you look at the price of beans, November, January, and July, there's just not a whole lot of carry in the market, which suggests that our time window on bean exports needs to be between now and year end. After that, the boats are going to start moving towards the southern hemisphere. So, you know, beans are the one to watch, but I think overall the export news is stronger here or firm as we move into next year.
Anything from the livestock sector today?
Well, still looking at the cattle situation where we're fairly good premium on the futures versus the cash. Still looking at 95, 97, 98 cent cash cattle. December fats are 111. Then when you look on out to February and into next April, 115, 116. So there's optimism out there that these numbers are going to tighten up and demand's going to pick up. But for a producer, it's kind of a hedge opportunity to lock in something higher than where the cash market is. Hog-wise, man, I can understand why you can't buy a freezer. We're looking at these pork loins, 79 cents a pound, hams, 40 cents a pound, and these bellies, which is bacon, $1.85 a pound, wholesale level. So there's some real opportunities out there to put something in the freezer.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it. We'll look forward to talking with you again next Monday.
Very good. Take care.
You too. Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joined us here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Don't forget, you can listen to Kurt again anytime you'd like off our website. Just click and play from willag.org, willag.org. Or if you'd prefer, you can find us as a podcast. Search out the Closing Market Report in places like Stitcher, SoundCloud, NPR One, even Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcast 2. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, Todd Hubbs, agricultural economist here on the Urbana Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Now joins us. Hey, Todd, thanks for being with us. You've written about soybeans this week. What were the things that you looked at?
Well, I was looking at how, you know, the size of 2020 crops sort of tempering some of the positive demand news we've seen in soybeans. And we've sort of just seen soybean prices vacillate between these two separate, you know, news items. We'll get a really good crop conditions report on Monday, and then we'll see some sales to China and sort of just flatlining out. I mean, overall, you know, I think we're looking at a pretty good crop this year, and that August 12th crop production report where we get USDA's first survey-based yield estimate could be an inflection point on this battle between supply and demand for where soybean prices are headed. So that's what I was talking about this week a bit.
What do you think the crop looks like?
I think it looks really good. I have my own models that I run. Right now, I've got a national soybean yield at 51 bushels an acre based on weather and crop conditions and some other things I run, which is well above USDA's trend line estimate of 49.8. I honestly wouldn't be surprised if it ended up being higher than that if we continue to see, you know, this cooler weather across large parts of the Corn Belt. And here in Illinois, we've had a lot of rain, and the Eastern Corn Belt's projected to get even above average rain over the next 10 days or so. So we're in one of those places where there are some dry areas out there in the country, particularly Western Iowa and parts of Michigan and Ohio, or have a decent amount, over 15% of their acres, and some level of drought condition. But I think the crop's looking pretty good. And I think that August 12th crop production report is probably going to reflect that.
Are we able to gauge very well where we are on the export market for this year? I would think that's true. And for next year at this point?
Well, I mean, I think we're on pace to hit USDA's projection for exports this year. You know, it's about 1.65 billion bushels. We've seen some really strong sales to China here in July. We saw China buy tremendously from Brazil in the first half of 2020, by my calculations, somewhere above 1.6 billion bushels. And they turned to us in July. I think we've already sold, you know, new and old crop marketing or new crop marketing year, probably around 580 million bushels of soybeans between the both of them as we sit here today. I think that will continue. I think Brazil's supply is getting a little tight, even though they're still shipping. In July, their exports have slowed a bit out of Brazil, but still pretty good for July in Brazil for soybeans, I think. And I think this fall we'll see China turn to us. Now, how much do they need? That's the big question. You know, for us to hit USDA's 2.05 billion bushels, I think we need well over a billion bushels of that to go to China. We've seen an uptick in geopolitical tensions between us and China. I don't see that cooling down anytime soon. And there's a lot of speculation on what that means for soybean purchases from China. I think they're going to come in. I think there's some optimism this fall that we'll be shipping a lot of soybeans to China, but will it be enough to hit that 2.05 billion? I'm not so sure at this point. I think we might fall a little bit short. I'd love to be wrong. I really would. But it really is going to be this fall in the early part of next year, because it looks like both Brazil and Argentina are expanding their crop size for the 2021 marketing year. And if their crop comes in, there's going to be a lot of beans in the world when we get into 2021. So we need them to buy strong. We need them to try to meet their phase one trade commitments. And how this all plays out on the political realm is beyond my pay grade. I'm worried about it, but optimistic at the same time.
In the end, the fundamentals do matter, and it's about supply, demand, and what the ending stocks are in the United States. And in the case of soybeans, particularly because Brazil is the largest producer of soybeans on the planet now, it matters what South America manages to put on the board as well, and what that ending stocks number looks like globally. How do you see all of that?
I think we're going to see it go up. Now, we have seen, as China's hog herd recovers and their crush margins come in, they have had some flooding recently, and we've seen their crush slow down a little bit. But I think when we get into the fall, into next year, I think they're going to be getting back to normal, closer to normal business and crush levels, you know, which puts exports well up there in the 90-plus million metric ton. You know, they're buying well above 90 million metric tons. But there's plenty, it looks like there's going to be plenty of beans out there to meet that demand. So I think the competition will be fierce when we get into 2021, if their crops come in South America for the export market share. That's why it really, I think, puts a lot of emphasis on what happens this fall and what kind of buying we see out of China. It sounds like they're going to try to meet those commitments, but with the election here and all the political, I want to say shenanigans, but I don't know how else to put it, all the back and forth going on with China right now, geopolitically, you know, there's cause for concern there, in my opinion. So to answer your question, I think we're going to see some pretty good ending stocks in soybeans as we move into 2021 and into the next crop year, 21-22.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
Todd Hubbs is an agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus at the University of Illinois. You can hear him most Mondays here at willag.org. Check it out online at willag.org. You can also read his articles posted to the Farm Doc Daily website at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. Check it out today. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this Monday afternoon. Mark Russo is out of the office. Let's take a tour of the weather conditions across the Midwest for the week. In Des Moines, Iowa today, they'll go to 75. The highs this week will not reach to the 80s until we get to Friday. And Thursday and Friday, they have a chance for rain. Saturday and Sunday as well. Their lows will be in the upper 50s to the mid-60s by the time they get to Friday of this week, right here in the great state of Illinois. The middle of the state will be in the mid-70s all week long until we get to Saturday. We'll get to 87 and then Sunday 92. Our lows will be 61 tonight, 57, 52, 55, 63, and then 70 on Saturday. The third largest corn producing in the state, in the nation, is Nebraska. This week, they're going to highs of 78 today, 77, 81, 83, 91 through Friday. Lows at 54, 50, 59, 63, and 71. Minneapolis is in the mid to upper 70s all week, a little bit higher than that, mid-80s on Friday. They'll have rainfall maybe Wednesday and Thursday, otherwise sunny skies with lows in the upper 50s to low 60s in the fourth largest corn-producing state, or rather fifth largest corn-producing state in the nation, is actually Kansas. This week, they'll be at 79, 79, 83, 87, and 96 by the time we get to Friday, with their lows at 57, 51 tomorrow, 59, 63, and 74 this week. And that's a quick look at the growing conditions across the five top corn-producing states in the nation. On this Monday, let's check out the cash grain situation with Greg Johnson. He's at the Andersons from right here in East Central Illinois. You know, Greg, the last time I drove around the county, or very far inside East Central Illinois, was about 2 weeks ago now. I suspect the conditions have changed pretty radically since then. What are farmers telling you about the corn and the soybean crop locally?
They are very pleased with the crop prospects. After a terrible start with so much replanting, it was beginning to look like a repeat of last year in May. But since the 1st of June, it's really straightened out. Our crop has really improved, and we're looking for crop ratings here in Illinois to improve for the third consecutive week. Farmers are pleasantly surprised with how pollination went. The temperatures weren't abnormally hot. There was some rain scattered throughout that pollination time frame. So we can't get over we can never make up for the holes, which are still out there. You know, it's hard to see those now. But so we're not going to have a record crop here in Illinois, but we can still have a definitely above average crop because what did survive that's out there is probably going to put a pretty good ear out there, we would think.
It all evened out, surprisingly enough, because I think you and I, maybe a couple of weeks ago when we talked, didn't think really that even it could possibly even out, but the weather's been really good. And then this week, with highs in the 70s, reaching nearly 80 by the end of the week, we'll be by 80 by the end of the week, and some cool temperatures, that should just make grain fill really work, I would think.
Yes, and the farmers are, like I say, they're very optimistic about an above average corn yield, and for the beans that didn't suffer as much from the wet weather and the wet May, a lot of people waited to plant beans after all that heavy rain, so they didn't have the drowned out spots to the same extent that they did on corn. So bean potential is really good. I mean, I would not be shocked at this point if it continues to rain in August that we could see record yields in beans for the state of Illinois. Corn, I don't think there's any way we can have a record yield on corn because of all the drowned out spots from earlier. But beans, I think, still have a legitimate chance of breaking a record yield for the state.
And on the flip side, when rain makes grain, that generally makes the price of corn particularly go down. What's it look like?
Yeah, I wish I could give farmers, anybody, a reason to hold on to corn, but the number one use for corn is livestock feed. Number two is ethanol, and ethanol usage is still down. It's coming back, but you just can't make up for those 2 months when the ethanol plants were shut down, and now with the COVID starting to flare up in certain states. The driving doesn't seem to is going to pick up anytime soon, and that's what we need. We really need, you know, miles driven so that we use gallons of gasoline so that we can blend the 10% ethanol with every gallon. And until that happens, the price prospects for corn seem to be very limited.
The third item of usage would be the export market. How's it holding in for both corn and soybeans?
Oh, yeah, with the weak dollar, exports have been very good. China has bought both corn and soybeans from the U.S. And like you say, exports are our number three use, but it's a distant three. You know, $5.5 billion for feed, $5.5 billion for ethanol, only $2 billion for exports. So China can buy a lot of corn, but it just can't make up for what we're probably going to lose on the ethanol side of the demand equation.
So just be happy with the weather and the bushels, I suppose, is the answer to the question, then, isn't it?
I guess that is the yes. Yeah, try to. It's hard to outproduce to make up for low prices, but that's what we're dealt with right now.
All right. Hey, thanks so much. We'll talk with you again next week.
Thanks, Todd.
Greg Johnson is with the Andersons from right here in Champaign County, Illinois. Joined us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report.